Good afternoon and welcome to The Lunchroom live on Radio Caribbean International. And I'm your host, Calix George Jr. It is Friday, the 1st of November. It's day number 305 of the year 2019 and we're on to show number 168. And on the menu today, we'll be doing a mix of subjects. We'll probably try to touch in a little bit about the discussion in the House of Parliament today, well, earlier on this week. Regarding the VAT, value-added tax, of course, and of all else that was in the news. And of course, at The Lunchroom, we aim to deliver you food for thought on a broad range of issues, what's in the news, what's not in the news as well. And if you'd like to call in to join and ask your questions, provide comments as well, you can do so via 452-3046, 452-3046, as well as our WhatsApp number, 724-0008, that is 724-0008, and you can call and message in to our WhatsApp number. And if you'd like to join us online, you can do so via our website, rcisaintlucia.com. We also have streaming via our Facebook Live feed, and that's up and running. Just search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International, and please like and share that as well with all your friends and family. And we'll today, in terms of birthdays, we have just two birthday wishes going out to Miss Shanta Louie and Miss Kiva Albert. So we wish you two the very best on your wonderful birthday celebration. And of course, if you know anybody out there would like to send in any birthday greetings, they can do so via email. Just email us, lunchroom@rcistlucia.com. And one notable figure born today, November the 1st, includes Spencer Percival. And he was the British Prime Minister between 1809 and 1812 until he was assassinated in the lobby of the House of Commons by a merchant, John Bellingham, who had a grievance against the government. And a few notable events with November the 1st. In 1755, there was a massive earthquake in Lisbon, Portugal, and that killed 50,000 souls. And in 1814, Congress of Vienna opens, and that was meant to redraw the European political map after the defeat of Napoleonic France in the Napoleonic Wars. And in 2012, scientists detect evidence of light from the universe's first stars, predicted to have formed 500 million years after the Big Bang. And now we'll be moving on to our dish of the day. Daily Dish is brought to you with the kind compliments of Tiles Plus.
We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss.
We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossage Grosley Lane and Clark Street in J4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939.
Tiles Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
Well, actually, it was a friend of mine who lives in Canada. He heard about Unleash through one of the previous participants, Jonathan Showery. They were in the same year at FNC. And he immediately sent me a WhatsApp message, and he was like, apply for this. There was just no question about it. He said to me I had to apply, and he bugged me until I submitted my application for Unleash. And for me, I remember my friend Christy Butcher had taken part in 2017 when Unleash was held in Denmark, and she had mentioned to me, you know, this was something that I would be interested in and something that I would be able to make a significant contribution, not only to St. Lucia, but to the Caribbean region and the rest of the world as well. I am quite looking forward to giving my contribution and my perspective. I'll be participating in the SDG 13 track, that's the Sustainable Development Goal 13, which is climate action, but more specifically, I will be working on disaster preparedness management and mitigation. And having been a NEMO volunteer for quite some time, it's been over a decade, and also working with the government of St. Lucia and in the media for the past 12, 13 years, it is an important subject for me. I'm looking forward to giving my contribution, my experience, my skills, my expertise, but more importantly, I am looking forward to all the other perspectives from participants the world over. We have been communicating via social media, and it is such an exciting and energetic group of people, and I'm looking forward to meeting all of them, exchanging ideas, and coming up with new and innovative solutions to the 2030 agenda.
This has been The Daily Dish.
Plus, come bless your style. We have style. Plus, we have styles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss.
We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosse Jugruzi Lake, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939.
Tiles Plus.
And welcome back to The Lunchroom. Thanks for listening to us here at Radio Caribbean International. It is the end of the working week, but it is a new month. It is November the 1st. In the Catholic tradition, it is All Saints Day, and tomorrow will be All Souls. And we did forget one very important person in terms of birthday wishes, and that is Mrs. Takessa Benjamin Antoine. So we wish you a very wonderful birthday indeed, Takessa, and hope you're enjoying it along with all the staff up at the OECS. Hope there's lots of cake to be had up there. And of course, we heard just a little while ago for our dish of the day, Miss Alicia Ali, and she, I believe, is also a Shevening scholar, and she is heading off to China to participate in this very good initiative, Unleash, of course, and the focus there is on the SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals. And so we definitely wish her, as well as, I believe, Miss Chelsea Foster from Birds of a Feather, very noble civil society organization that does quite a bit of work with young females. So we wish you, too, the very best in your journey there, and hope that you can make the most of it, of course, and come back and share that experience, no doubt. Of course, today we will be speaking a bit about what happened in the news with respect to the House of Parliament. The House of Parliament met on Tuesday, and that was followed by a sitting of the Senate. House of Assembly met on Tuesday, and the Senate met on Thursday. And so that we'll be speaking about a little bit, of course, later on. Now, our lines will be open from very early, so you can, in fact, call in from right away, from right now, if you'd like to call in to give us your sense as to how the week went for you and what you would like to see more of, perhaps, even on The Lunchroom, in terms of programming. Our number here is 452-3046. That's 452-3046. Now, before we actually get to that, I should also make a slight announcement coming out of the Ministry of Infrastructure, and that is with respect to a very important initiative, an infrastructural initiative being done by the Department of Infrastructure, Ports and Energy, and that is looking at a roundabout being proposed in the junction, I believe, along the Allan Bosque Highway and the Union Road, or some of you may know it as the Postlethwaite Road. And that is a very, very busy junction, as you know, as in particular for those of you who try to avoid the traffic on the highway. And it is quite a bottleneck currently at that junction, particularly because of the presence of the school. And that is the Dame Perlett Louise Primary School, the largest school on island, in fact, certainly the largest primary school on island, with nearly 1,000 students attending there. And so there is, in fact, going to be a consultation. And if I may just read out the message specifically, it says, Marisol Grand Revere Union Roads and Roundabout Project Stakeholder Consultation. Parents of students attending the Dame Paulette Louise Primary are invited to attend an extraordinary meeting on Tuesday, the 5th of November, 2019, at 5 p.m. at the school auditorium. The meeting is to discuss the Marisol Grand Revere Union Roads and Roundabout Construction Project, which will improve road safety and the flow of traffic in the vicinity of the school and the general area. The Department of Infrastructure, Ports and Energy encourages parents and students to please make a special effort to attend. So again, there's an extraordinary meeting for parents of the Dame Paulette Louise Primary, and that is going to be held next week, Tuesday the 5th of November at 5 p.m., and that's at the school in the auditorium area of the school. So certainly, it's good news for commuters, hopefully, once that can get going, because it certainly does pose quite a backup of traffic on the Union Road or on the Postlethwaite Road, as the case may be. Now, as I said earlier on in the news, we heard this week on the whole matter of the deputy speaker issue. That went to court for its first hearing, I do believe. That was on Thursday, yesterday. And we heard from, and that's a matter being brought on by attorney at law Martinez Francois. And he indicated that, in fact, that matter is going to be postponed, to his chagrin, until the 23rd of January in 2020. So he's got a couple of months to wait, and he wasn't very happy about that. In fact, in his opinion, the government is wasting his time, and for what he says, because they know they are wrong. And the government is going to be represented, well, rather the speaker, in fact, who's the person in question here, is going to be represented by another attorney at law, Dexter Theatre or Queen's Counsel. Of course, this matter is all because of the fact that we do not currently have a deputy speaker in the House of Assembly of St. Lucia. It is a constitutionally required position. It is stated very clearly in the Constitution how that person is supposed to be selected and what is supposed to be done when there is a vacancy in that position. And of course, we have had a big issue over effectively how the government chooses to interpret the wording as soon as convenient. I think for them, in their opinion, it is when it is convenient to them and not as soon as convenient. So we will see how that all pans out, no doubt, and to see how whether, in fact, it will hopefully not be adjourned again, as we know happens quite a bit. There are a number of fairly important matters that are at the courts, in the St. Lucia courts, which are not very clear as to where they are going right now. The other one, of course, is the whole issue of the constituency boundaries matter. That was something that was brought up by the Castries South East MP, Member of Parliament, the Honourable Guy Joseph, shortly before the 2016 elections. There was a review by the Constituency Boundaries Commission. They approved, they sent a report to Parliament, effectively indicating what their recommendations were. Currently, as you would know, St. Lucia has 17 constituencies, and the recommendation was to shift that to 21 constituencies. Primarily, the area of focus to be changed would have been the creation of two new constituencies in the Groseley area, so that Groseley, which is currently just one constituency, would become three, Groseley North, a Groseley Central, and a Groseley South. And, of course, the reason why that was being done is because, according to the Constitution, the seats are supposed to be as nearly equal as possible, while at the same time respecting geographic and administrative boundaries. So in the case of Groseley, there were nearly 30,000 individuals currently living in that constituency. And so, and that, when you considered it compared to what the average size of the constituencies were, which is somewhere around 8,000, 9,000, it therefore meant that Groseley was in the region of three times larger than what it should have been. And so that was why there was a push to, in fact, divide Groseley. And we've even since heard from the member, the current member of parliament for Groseley, the Honorable Leonard Spider Montoute, indicating that he, in fact, is in favor of a split of the Groseley constituency as it is currently made up. And so that would have resulted in three seats in that area. However, there was also recommendation for two additional seats, a split of the Castries Southeast seat, and that would have formed, along with parts of Castries South, it would have formed a Castries Southwest seat, which would have taken in areas like Marigot and Bel-Air, Lac-Wamingo, Odsa. And so those would have now formed a new seat. Bardini would have also been in that seat as well. And that would have become a Castries Southwest seat. And the remainder of Castries Southeast would, in fact, just be Castries Southeast. I think along with parts of what is currently Castries East. Now, so there was a reconfiguration, a realignment of some of the seats in the north, and it didn't seem that this was in the liking of Mr. Guy Joseph, who brought this matter forward to the courts. And we have since seen a government change. We've seen an election. We've seen a government change. We've also, it's about over 4 years now that this matter has been in the courts. In fact, we've seen an appointment of an entirely new Boundaries Commission. And so it really should by now have come to some, get some clarity as to how we are moving forward, because in fact we're closer to an upcoming election than we are to the election that just passed. So we're not sure what's the situation there. As it is right now, if the gentleman, Mr. Guy Joseph, decides to pull back his case, in fact it would mean that the situation as it is, the report that was submitted, would go forward, which is essentially the 21-seat configuration there. Mm-hmm. But no word on that as yet. The interesting thing about that as well politically is that had the Guy Joseph not challenged that matter, I think the government currently, the United Workers Party, would in fact have come out in a stronger position in terms of seat counts in that last election. So definitely something for the country to think about, because it really is an infringement on the rights of individuals if some people are more represented than others. So it's not just a political matter for politicians. It's actually a matter of the quality of representation that you are afforded under the Constitution. Because as it is right now, that's how we vote. We vote on the basis of constituencies, and people are grouped into constituencies. And the belief is that these constituencies need to be as nearly equal as possible. And so it's not a good situation where you have one constituency which has somewhere in the region of about 30,000 persons or residents, and another constituency on the far end of it, Denry South, with only about 5,000 persons living there. So that's a pretty broad spread, and definitely not what we should be looking for. Now, of course, there was quite a bit of discussion this week as well on the whole issue of Desert Star Holdings. We spoke about that at length. Of course, the promise of a $2.7 billion loan. That's about $7.3 billion, not loan, sorry, but in fact, an investment that was supposed to have been the value of the investment when everything was, in fact, complete. We are now being told about an $80 million investment, which is the racetrack. And there has been quite a bit of statements being made by the government on this matter. The suggestion is that we should almost think that the framework agreements, which were leaked back in 2016, as if they did not exist. We've been, so a lot of mixed messages, lots of mixed messages coming out there. So much so that the director of implementation of the government, Ms. Nancy Charles, has in fact said that she has had to clarify the statements made by Prime Minister Alan Chastney with respect to DSH and where exactly the funds are going to come from to pay for the project. You would recall that there were a number of statements indicating that the project would eventually be funded or paid for by CIP revenue. And that was stated on about two different occasions by the Prime Minister, one of which was in the presence of the developer, Mr. Teo Akeng. The other time was on a talk show, a nighttime talk show. And so clearly, we are seeing a sort of a reversal of those statements and a change in the position. So it's no longer that this is going to be, in fact, so much so that we're even being told that the project has never gone for CIP approval. And pretty certain we saw certain documents circulating as well with a review by Invest St. Lucia and the recommendations to the CIP, the Citizenship by Investment Program, on the whole issue of DSH. And the Prime Minister, before the elections, in fact, when looking at that whole issue of CIP, he made a comment at an economic forum, effectively saying that we should be very wary of projects that are very highly leveraged towards CIP. In fact, what he said was that we should not have any projects for CIP which are 100% CIP revenue. Now, of course, that would never have happened regardless, because CIP would have had their own rules as to how they would manage projects. And I think there is, in fact, a cap as to how much of the developer's own equity they're supposed to have vis-a-vis CIP. And so clearly, you'd want to have a reasonable balance of sourcing of funds. But in the case of DSH, the suggestion coming out there was that 90% of the revenue for putting forward DSH as a project was going to be coming from the sale of passports. 90%. And clearly that is way too highly leveraged towards CIP revenue. So the question therefore is, well, what is the developer bringing to the table? And this is where a lot of the issue has been placed at. And even so, we've been told that thus far the developer has spent in the region of 80 million EC dollars. Well, we've told it was 30 million US thus far, which is about 81 million EC dollars in terms of the developer spending money. Now, as to how that is broken down, we did not get an explanation as to how much went in terms of leveling of the property, how much went into actual infrastructure, how much went into the bonds. But we do know that what is there thus far is not the full build-out of the project. There is no grandstand. There is no hotel, which was supposed to be part of the project, and all these other amenities, as they're now being called. But what we do also know is that the impact on the government side has been quite stark. And if we look at the aspects there, we're talking about the abattoir, the meat processing facility. We're talking about the land costs. We're talking about relocation costs. We're talking about a new road. That has actually, when I work it out, it came up to about 104 million EC dollars. We have a call coming in at this point. Let's take that call. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
So very mixed that I can hardly say. But it actually has to do with government. There is horse meat, there is horse hair, and there is human skull. All kinds of on this actual plate here. One of the things that bothers me, colleague, very much is whether or not the entire cabinet is in complete concert with the horse racing issue at this point in time. Your ministry, country, your health sector in this country is in shambles. The health sector, which is more important than education, the very first, two of the very first issues that I would put on my agenda would be food for my people, agriculture, and then health, not so much education. Now, if the cabinet is in complete agreement without any contention whatsoever that the race venture or the 13th of December races should be consideration, I wouldn't say more, equal consideration with the health sector of this country, woe be unto every one of them there. And I say woe be unto them. You, Guy Joseph, you, Hyder, and the others, you are in total agreement that this horse race issue is to be held on the 13th, whereas you have not delivered the St. Jude's Hospital, whereas you are in disarray insofar as the old King of Memorial Hospital is concerned. And, you know, you had an example of people coming in when the ship came in here. People flocked to the point where it was almost chaotic. And this, your schools are in disarray up to now. Some children are still having problems. Teachers are in confusion. I have never, ever seen such a disorganized, you know, governing body supervising the country as it is today. I know that there have been governments, and all governments have the chair of nonsensical stupidity, corruption, but this one beats me. I cannot in my dictionary, vocal dictionary, mental dictionary, vocabulary, find the adequate words to criticize the government. Not to dislike any individual, but it's the strategy, the plan, the way you do things, you know, without consultation to the people, neglecting every advice that is given to you by the opposition. Look at this. The very structure of the government, the clustering of ministries, is absurd. It is ridiculous. It is stupid.
Well, caller, we've actually seen a declustering since, eh? We've actually seen a declustering since the original cluster government concept came to form, you know. We've now seen definitive ministers, actual ministers of tourism and actual ministers of commerce, whereas before they were all placed in this minister in the ministry of type of arrangement. So, but I understand what you're saying, though.
Let me just complete, Carlick, because there are other people.
Yes.
I want to wonder, why are St. Lucians going to sit by and allow the races to continue without upping the bar insofar as demonstrations and total rejecting of this project? If that is the case, supposing the party, the opposition, decides to just talk and let this thing go on, you better don't go for elections next year.
Well, don't
go for elections.
Yeah.
This is the best opportunity you have to fight the government. I say fight, and I mean that. We civil disobedience and what have you, but you cannot allow, my people, this to go on. Horse racing is depopularizing. It is not going to increase. You may have a hullabaloo on the first day and so on, but maintenance of this thing, this it is so, you know, unbelievable. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, caller. Let's try to take another call very quickly. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hey, good afternoon, colleague.
Good afternoon, caller. Go ahead.
Yes. With all what is being said about that race track and things, so Calix, you really believe that that is sustainable?
No, actually, I don't think it's sustainable. We've seen quite a number of other projects similar to it either never happening because of lots of different reasons. But I think it has happened as a result of immense governmental support. And I'm not sure that I can see how it is going to be sustainable. In fact, if you listen to all indications by even the Prime Minister himself, he has admitted that it is a loss leader, that it is not expected to, in fact, make money. The hope is that somehow the real estate around the racetrack is going to be so valuable that persons are going to be running to have their villas around this horse racetrack.
But, Calix, I personally, I believe that all the money spent in that thing thus far belongs to the nation, right? As a result, you know, I don't care what people say, what people think about me, but I'm going to say it straight up, that I believe that project will fail. It will fail miserably. I want it to fail. Why? Because the country's money is involved. Okay? And we all know by now that Alan Shastley, anything he put his hands to, will surely die. And as a result, I believe it will fail. I want it to fail because the country's money is involved and they are not being honest with the people. You know, that whole project smells of corruption. You know, and we some of us, we want to be politically correct, you know, looking for all kind of things and pacify it and encourage it. The bottom line is the country's money is involved, and as a result, it will fail. Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. Let's try to get another call before the break. Good afternoon, and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? Good afternoon.
What I heard the people describing, the most of the callers, is an OSIMO development, an OSIMO strategy. And I wanted to stick, because what's going on there is a stupid, dull, dumb.
Go ahead,
development,
caller.
Because it's what so-called development is like OSIMO look lighting a match. To look for $100, to look for a cent, he's burning $100 to look for a cent, and climbing a mango tree, touching it, smelling it, and coming down and throwing stones to try and pick it. And that is what going on there, taking our land for $1. If a group of St. Lucians had gone to the Prime Minister and asked him for such land for a development, you'd say, kuidenu, me koyoni you sort a shin, ikabayo sitesa puanye. And we're paying for it. That is OSIMO development, OSIMO strategy. And let's coin it as an OSIMO strategy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. Now, we're going to have to take a break at this point for our weather news. And when we come back, we'll continue to take your calls.
Fritters! Come and get your fritters here! We're giving them away at Island Style. Tell them that!
So, are you mad? What do you mean, fritters?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles.
Wow, that's a deal. And good timing too. So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453. Tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shamari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
It is the 1st of November 2019. Our forecast is Thomas Agis, and the weather report is as of 12 noon today. The present weather at Hiranuara is cloudy. In the George Charles, it's partly cloudy. Present temperature at Hiranuara, 31 degrees Celsius or 87 degrees Fahrenheit. And last night's minimum temperature was 24 degrees Celsius or 75 degrees Fahrenheit. The wind at Hiranuara blowing from the east at 18 miles per hour. And after a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., there was 3.3 millimeters of rainfall recorded at Hiranuara and at George Charles. There was 8.1 millimeters. Sun will set today at 24 minutes before 6 and rise in the morning at a minute before 6. The forecast for St. Lucia valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the east, northeast and the east, southeast near 16 miles per hour or 26 kilometers, becoming lighter at times. And the weather, generally fair skies, becoming cloudy at times with some scattered showers and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. Again, a recap of the forecast for St. Lucia valid for the next 24 hours. Winds blowing between the east, northeast and the east, southeast near 16 miles per hour or 26 kilometers, becoming lighter at times. The weather, generally fair skies, becoming cloudy at times with some scattered showers and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. Marine forecast foresees in a 25-mile or 40-kilometer radius from St. Lucia. Presently, we are experiencing low tide at the Castries Harbour and the Vierfort Bay. High tide for the Castries Harbour will be at 13 minutes after 6 this evening. And the high tide for the VF4 be at 20 minutes after 7 tonight. The seas are moderate to locally rough. The waves and northerly to northeasterly swells are 5 to 8 feet. That's the same as 1.5 to 2.4 meters in open waters. Small craft operators and sea bathers are advised to exercise extreme caution due to heavy swells, especially to the north of the islands. So please take note of that to all my small craft operators who are normally tuned in on this at this hour. I want to bid you guys a very special afternoon. But take heed. There is an advisory out that you should exercise extreme caution due to heavy swells, especially to the north of the island. For the Lesser Antilles, it's partly cloudy skies, occasionally becoming cloudy with widely scattered showers and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. And the tropical weather outlook. The lower atmosphere across the eastern Caribbean region will remain relatively moist and unstable. As a result, some cloudy periods with scattered showers and possibly isolated thunderstorms are expected during the next 24 hours. And a tropical wave over the central tropical Atlantic is moving westward near 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. Another tropical wave located over the eastern tropical Atlantic is moving westward near 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers as well. And that is the official weather report. Join us again in the morning at around 6:30 for our next report from the Met Service. Thank you, Thomas, for the update. The weather was made possible by Island Style Tile and Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception. Visit
Rentals at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, Villefort. Or call 452-450 or 453. Tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shamari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. I think we have a call coming in already, so let's take it. Oh, looks like we just lost it again. Yep, but we were speaking about, here it comes. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Oh, vegetarian, you know how I roll.
Well, it's actually World Vegan Day today. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. November the 1st, yes.
But you know, they say there's nothing like coincidence, huh? vegan like me, nothing else, eh?
Well, it's your day, my brother.
Yeah, so I mean, I must say, first of all, that your father is a great guy. And Karen is in the being his namesake. You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, now, that racehorse thing that's going on there. My partner told me he's going on there with his basket. His pannier.
His basket?
Yeah, his pannier. Because they will have 4 rows of bread there, 4 rows of bread.
that's a good one, caller.
Yeah, but if Prime Minister, I find, like, you only show me all the Labour Party projects on our side, Alan. You know what happened? Right now, that man's name is Shove Ali.
I get that one as well, caller. But the argument is that it's a Labour Party project as well. Remember, caller? That,
no, the guys are a Labour Party never presented that. So how could it be a Labour Party project? It's who presents it that is their project.
Well, I guess it depends on what you want to claim or what you don't want to claim. So
no, well, you know, at
that's the way
the
politics
day,
is.
At the end of the day, there's a lot of spinning going on. And parties will use whatever they can in order for them to look good. The Labour Party could have used that to look good, and they did not use it to look good. Al, Shove Al, used that for him to look good. So at the end of the day, it's his debt to pay. And he must not forget, a promise is a debt. Mm-hmm. He promised that that's going to be successful, and he owes a debt to the country that is successful. That's my word for the day.
Thanks very much, caller, for
You're
your
welcome.
Point. Thank you. Very interesting points there. I mean, definitely DSH still remains, I mean, a very major undertaking, and I think the government has invested quite a bit of its political capital into this project. And as a caller quite well pointed out, he doesn't believe that it has full buy-in from the cabinet. I would stand with him on that belief as well. When you consider that some of the projects that are being affected, for instance, that meat processing facility was effectively a flagship project of the former, well, the current and former Minister of Agriculture, the Honorable Ezekiel Joseph. It's something that he was very proud about. It was a massive undertaking, a $21 million meat processing facility. It had its issues in the beginning because of contractors and foundation issues. Eventually, it came off, and there was additional funding that had to be sought because the Taiwanese funding was not enough. It's sitting there, pretty much closed, and it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And yes, we are now being promised a smaller facility. Some people are now saying, well, smaller is not necessarily worse off. It might be just as good, but it's very unlikely that the smaller facility is going to have the same capacity as this current meat processing facility. And that's the other big question is if and when it ever gets done. Because again, all we have is a promise of a commitment by the developer to construct this new meat processing facility. We haven't heard as to where it is at in terms of the design phase. We haven't gotten any indication as to how much it's going to cost. We don't know when the works are going to begin. Really and truly, all these things should be in place before you actually jump in to make this action. So it seems as if everything seems to be in quite a bit of reverse. And certainly when you think about, I mean, in the news today, for instance, we were talking about roadworks in the north of the island. And here we were spending $13 million constructing a bypass road, which really was not necessary. It was never part of the original design. But because of the realignment of the racetrack, as a result of one person who had a lease on some land in the Bosejou area, they completely realigned the racetrack. And in fact, so instead of the racetrack being more on a north-south axis, it ended up being on a sort of a northwest-southeast axis. And that meant that it then had to cross over the existing Larry Seuss Highway. It then meant that we had to construct a bypass road, which in fact then put that road closer to the disused runway. Implications there in terms of future development of the whole aerodrome area. We are making a lot of concessions when it comes to this DSH project. And remember, this is just phase one. This is we promised a number of phases in this project, and this phase alone has been very disruptive in terms of the costs, in terms of the amount of land that we've had to give up as well as a result of this project. Let's take another call. It's coming in. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, caller. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Go right ahead.
It was said that on the news that at the walk-through of the racing truck, there was not any other elected members of parliament there, you know. And that's on HTS News.
Oh, you mean it was just the Prime Minister?
It was just...
And his entourage.
I think it just must be just Lone Ranger and Tonto.
I'm not sure who those individuals are, but... I wouldn't hazard a guess on as to who they are either. Well, that's interesting. I remember at one point the Minister for Commerce and Investment was featuring in terms of some of the DSH discussions. It seems as if he's taken a back seat on it. Certainly, we there are a lot of questions to be asked with respect to the DSH. We still don't even know, caller, as to what the framework agreements in place are.
They were speaking to Mr. Guy Joseph Tonto, and then he was saying, well, if they expect the projects to stop, private projects to stop, it's a whole lot of nonsense he was saying.
Right, the suggestion there now is that it's a private investment, so therefore it has nothing to do with the government. But the reality is very different, Kuala, because it's government property.
The Prime Minister said
government.
So. He said that they'd be...
Yeah.
Prepared, facilitating, and doing all the works, and then afterwards, they would buy back the thing from the developer. Afterwards, it is said there, and yet when you they question them about it, they say that is not true. They twisting and turning. You know, I mean, explain to people what is going on. And can you tell me how many CIP projects that we have in St. Lucia so far?
That's a very good question, caller. We had the range project. We know what happened to that. That they went across to Grenada.
Was it Sabwisha? What happened to it?
Sabwisha, we're not sure. We were told about the Bulgarian investors. I think a few of them are now in prison in Europe. We were told that there's some new investors coming in, according to what Invest in Usha has indicated, some other Bulgarian investors. But no clear indication as to what the timeline is. There is also, I believe, I'm not sure if it's been approved as yet, or it may have been approved, the at the CIP level, and that is the Galaxy project. Remember, there's this development going on in St. Kitts?
Yeah.
And they have, it's a Chinese company. They haven't been able to finish their Ramada Hotel over in St. Kitts, but they're now trying to develop two properties, Azotree and Secrets property down there. What is branded?
Where will it be?
That's in the Canals area, in the Puerto de Cay area.
And no signs of anything. You're just hearing things approved and then things not. But what about the airport? Has anything started on the airport? Any development on the airport? Yes, right now it's just quiet on the airport. You're not hearing anything much about the airport.
Yeah, well, I would imagine it's going to continue to be quiet for a little while still. There were some, again, I would say playing in the sand. There was a few earth movements, clearance of bush, that kind of thing that was going on down there.
You just sent some projects coming on and then everything just go quiet and you're not. So nobody have a full knowledge of what is taking place, what has been completed, what isn't. You know. Now,
well, you're raising a very critical point, and I was trying to raise that point, I think, yesterday, caller, that by right, at a minimum, when you're having a project like that, you're supposed to put up a signboard. And the signboard is supposed to indicate what the project is, how much it's going to cost, what is the time, the start, commencement time, end time, who the contractors are, what is the cost of the project. And we're just, you know, and so now we're satisfied with seeing somebody going on a site, and then we're seeing some people clearing something, and then it becomes a project.
Because I remember the OKU hospital, before it was even came on track, there was this signboard by the car park, by the Grey of Louis Sibylis. It was right there. The board was there with all the everything about this. So you come in there, you could have gone and read what was going to be happening, when it would be starting. And everything was there for you to see. But, you know, you hear the project and you pass in and listen. There's nothing. And another question I need to ask about the road going up north.
Yes.
It was supposed to be a Kuwait fan thing when I remember they said they were going to have 9 other walkovers.
That's correct. I think about 6 roundabouts, 9 walkovers, four-lane highway. Well, that has been put on pause. That's what has happened with that project. I don't think it was the wish of the government to pursue it. It was, as you in fact pointed out, there were two sources of funding, Kuwait as well as the OPEC Fund for International Development.
The money was there. And I mean, especially in the Marisol Gap there, it is so dangerous.
Well, actually, it's even worse past the Marisol Gap these days, caller. If you get up to Computer World in the Corinth area, the traffic is very, very, very bad.
Put aside something so important, and you know, I just don't understand how this people are working. Now, I heard you say when they're going to have something put a roundabout by Jane Pullet.
I'm
hoping that they put a walkover also, because it's very dangerous for this train.
Yeah, you're all right. Thanks very much, caller. We're going to have to end it there. And let's take another call. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Well, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. And go right ahead.
Yeah, my observation is that the government was saying or kept saying that they have the health care at heart, and it's not that they put in horses or the horse race before health care. But as far as we understood, if this project was already at hand with the XLP and that they didn't go through with it because of the deal that they didn't agree with, the UWP now, we didn't know the XLP, well, we're not sure who knows what, but given the fact that it was said that the UWP did not know of the project, well, the impression in campaigning, they were complaining about everything else that the SLP did not do, and healthcare, and they didn't finish the hospital, and so forth. Now, in entering and winning the elections, the things that they complain about have not been taken care of. Healthcare, education, and other things. And we see now the horse race track is being put forth before everything else. So I cannot understand the logic behind they saying that they're not putting horses before people. That's just my observation.
Yeah, I mean, you pointed out some of the projects which were stopped, like the St. Jude Hospital reconstruction project. They also stopped the Hewanora International Airport PPP. The lady just pointed out earlier on the Castries-Groseley Highway upgrade. We know about the Soufre Square. There are a number of them. You're quite correct. But yet still, the one that was being held in a holding pattern, which was the DSH, because of issues surrounding this project, they seem to have put that in the front burner. And it was, there's an agreement within a few weeks of the election. So very, very pointed, very, very apt points, caller.
Yeah, because it was not on the agenda where there's a campaign issue at all, period.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see, you know, this is forefront and center.
Yeah. So very, very strange situation indeed with respect to how that project became so very necessary. But I think sometimes, caller, when people look at the big figures, remember it was touted as a $2.7 billion project, the largest project ever to be undertaken in St. Lucian history. Maybe I think the government got ahead of itself.
Did that, it's something to look at. What about healthcare? Because What comes first, the horse race or healthcare? Because that's what you campaign against. And even if you didn't campaign against it, but you get in there, it's dire now, and then you're still smiling and being excited about Gates coming in and so forth, and then you're crying, saying that, oh, 55,000 people, you know, cannot afford healthcare. I mean, what kind of thing is that? Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, caller. All I can tell you is that you can check out the DSH racetrack on November the 3rd, this Sunday. There's an open day down there, I think from 2:30 until 5 o'clock. So if you'd like to go down there, you can, in fact, do so. And I believe it's an open, free, open day. You can go down there with your kids. I think there's supposed to be free ice cream and bouncing castles as well. So do enjoy it, because, of course, some of it is your land. It is the country's land that is being leased out there, and it certainly is, you know, the country's money that has been supporting quite a number of aspects surrounding this project. So certainly, we are also promised, of course, the race, big race on December the 13th. So maybe you may want to enjoy that. I think the price is $25. We have another call. It's probably going to be our last call for the day. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Yes, good afternoon, colleagues. I heard the minister, I think, for economic affairs on one of the nightly news newscasts, saying, trying to make an equivalent between the Labour Party getting $68 million for the administrative building and not doing it for the hospital. Now, you know, unfortunately, you know, this gentleman likes to twist facts, or either he doesn't do his research. The money for the administrative building came from the NIC, okay, and that is within government guidelines. It's in a guideline, okay, to do projects like this under the board project.
But the timing was also, the timing was not the same, though. That came after the government had already sourced that loan from the Taiwanese to go ahead with the St. Jude Hospital project. So, in fact, to give the impression that the money from NIC was taken before or was provided as a priority to one project over another is not actually correct.
Yeah, well, that as well. But in addition to that, the NIC under is strictly as a past board member. We are not allowed to borrow money to any government institution, to any hospital, okay, or schools. They don't do that. Okay, that is just part of the rules. Mm-hmm. NIC gives an amount of about, I think, $400,000 a year as part of its corporate responsibility to the hospital. That's all that happens. And the minister should know, if he's interested, that NIC, you cannot take money from NIC, or NIC will not loan money for a hospital. And that effort was totally genius.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and, you know, and he should be the last person, you know, to come and talk about anything about credibility and so on, you know, because as in my book, he doesn't have any. And I'm sure in the books of a number of St. Lucian. He's the last person coming to speak about it. Anyway, I know it's time it's after two already, so I'll catch up there.
Okay. Thanks very much, caller.
Okay, caller.
We didn't even get a chance to get into the whole issue of the VAT debate that was going on in the House of Assembly this week, but hopefully we can get to that next week, Monday. As of now, there is no guest booked for that day, so we try to discuss that on that day. And on Tuesday, I hope to have in studio with me Miss Catherine Seelies. We'll be speaking about Raise Your Voice and their advocacy with respect to the situation of unsolved murders in St. Lucia. And on Wednesday, there's another guest booked, but we'll confirm that next week. So do have yourself a wonderful weekend, your first weekend, first Saturday in November. So do enjoy that and all the best. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., saying goodbye.